Welcome back to Success Made Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This is our designer series. Today, we're talking with Doug Moore of Toyota, and we're not talking about design of cars or trucks, but actual design of careers. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the merger of avocation with vocation. Doug, welcome back to our show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
You bet. For those that didn't hear your first show, Doug, tell them a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and your career journey.
Sure. As mentioned, my name's Doug. I'm with Toyota. And here at Toyota, I work on things called technology for human support, which is sort of a mixture of robotics, future mobility, thinking about how we actually impact quality of life for individuals and what that looks like in a place like Toyota. So as far as background, I come from mechanical engineer. I went to UCSD for my undergraduate and UC Irvine for my master's degree. I've worked in various areas where it's both focused on artificial intelligence and robotics and mechanics and thinking about solving problems in the real world. And then carrying that forward to thinking about how do I do that in a way that I feel is connected with my sort of passion and vision for people in life. So.
And thus was the impetus for having you back on again, because you impressed us so much with how your passion is blended with what you do at work, and which led us to this whole talk about vocation and avocation. And if I could take a couple of minutes to make sure and discern the difference, and Doug, feel free to jump in on this. We
sure.
think a vocation is a calling, an occupation, or sometimes it's a large undertaking for which one is especially suited. It's sometimes synonymous with a career profession, though vocation can also connote a seriousness or a commitment that these words don't always bear. And an avocation is something done in addition to one's vocation. Sometimes people call it a hobby. We don't. Both are rooted in the Latin word vocare, which means to call. And what we found out is in its early English use, vocational usually had religious implications. So one who had a vocation was called by God toward a certain line of work. And the word was in use without the religious overtones as early as the 16th century. Avocation also, there's a prefix A, shortened by AB, which means away. So considered that it's an avocation is calling away. And so it's interesting to look at the root words of it. And when you look at your career and what you're doing today, did you feel like that at some stage of your life, whether as a teenager or as you grew to be a young adult, that you were literally being called to and gravitating toward this field of work?
That's a great question. I think it's also an interesting way to look at the background. So last time we spoke, I wanted to make sure I was thinking of vocation and avocation properly as well. So I went back and made sure I read the dictionary definition to be on the same page. And for me, yes, I think there is sort of that point in life where I've felt like I've been called, and it's actually been called in different ways and in different directions. So for me, one of the things that you had asked me earlier is about sort of what is this intersection between avocation and vocation, I think, and how does that work sort of in America and across the thing? I think we all play different roles in the same sort of structure or body, if you will, and you think about how we actually each play a component in that. So my father is actually a firefighter. He's retired now. And I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. They're both firefighters as well. And so, in that sense of them working and doing something that's really amazing and helping, it's a direct vision of saying, hey, these people are making a difference in the community. I've always had sort of a ability to understand math and engineering from that perspective. And I felt like I was sort of had the ability to do that well. And I always thought, well, I want to do something like, firefighting, but I want to actually make sure I use the talents that have as an individual and that I can actually use and be unique in it. And so how do I actually use those things to be impactful in some ways. So, and over the period of time, I've had different sort of, I don't know if it's necessarily calling in each specific area, but thinking about, okay, I can do this in engineering, but also tying that with something and saying, this is interesting to me. And I also feel like it has something that is working me towards, I don't know, both a career path and also making a difference as far as advancing technology or doing something that I would say is worthy of what I'd like to do.
Mm. With brothers and a father who are firefighters, if they were on the show, how would they contrast themselves to you? Would they say that we're all in the same family of people that pursue our passion?
Yeah, I would say that. I think, you know, ultimately, my being the middle child, I think I have the advantage of having someone that went before me and also somebody that's behind me that sort of looks up to me. So I think it's been good in both ways. I think all of us would say, yes, we come from the same family of following a passion. And, you know, my older brother, even though he does have a chemistry degree from UC Davis, also went into firefighting because he was just passionate about it. Like, it was something that he wanted to do. And for us, you know, each individual, you know, even though we're brothers, we all have our different skills and talents in a lot of ways. And so we each have found a way to say, what can we do to impact or do something to follow in the footsteps of our dad and just, you know, the family and people in our lives as well. So,
okay, we're going to get into this deeper with our special guest here, Doug Moore, today of Toyota. And this show, again, is about designing your career. And Doug, everyone who listens to this show always wants two or three tips. So we want to make sure and give them some takeaway today. And I would also tell everyone listening that there's not an exact science to blending avocation and vocation, but let's try this. If you consider everyone's career as a battlefield, and people are truly, Doug, trying to achieve what you have achieved and what you've described, is there something that you had to shed in terms of giving up something in order to understand that you needed to achieve this? Or is there any surrendering of anything or shedding? Or what do you do to get into this possibility of blending avocation and vocation?
Yeah, I think there's obviously lots of different ways you could. So the short answer is yes. There's constantly sort of shedding of either expectations or, you know, ideas or considerations. But one of the things I think that we always have to shed, and I think this is very true in one of the projects that I was working on here. So we worked on a project for the blind and visually impaired to say, how do we actually do something to improve their quality of life? And one of the things I think that's important is I always had to remove assumptions that I was putting on other people. So you come to somebody that's in a different, whoever they are, you know, they could be a blind person. It could be just somebody else that you're working with, and realizing how often I brought assumptions to the individual and saying, what can I do to actually help this individual, or thinking of the other person in a lot of ways. You have to shed that sort of assumption in interacting with those other people and thinking about outside of yourself, how do you really connect with that other person? And by listening to the other person, understanding, looking at them for who they truly are, I think really helps quite often in your interaction with that person.
So move outside of yourself and move from me to we, and maybe shed ego along the way.
Yeah. So it's not just shedding ego, but it's, you know, it's really putting aside sort of, preconceived thoughts in some ways. So it may even be outside of sort of the ego process. It may just, you know, I guess they're correlated, but when you think about your career and you say, hey, I have something that's going to help me be successful or help me, this is a great product, or this is how I'm going to do it, you really have to say, what is my mission and vision, and how does it relate to the individuals that I'm trying to help? You know, whether it's, you know, again, if it's just an end product and who is the community that I'm serving through this product, or and that could be through something that's physical or non-physical, it could be services that you're providing to those individuals. How do you actually think and consider about them first? And say, what are their real needs?
It's almost like you've reached higher ground and you're this higher mindfulness level. This is a real judgment call, having come from Procter & Gamble. If one achieves this blending of avocation and vocation, do you think that the big corporation is getting the best of their employees if they've actually achieved this balance?
I think yes and no. It really just depends on the individual. So when I look at, for me, the blending of avocation, it goes back a little bit to your definition of the two. You know, I have a vocation where I'm doing something on a daily basis, you know, whether it's working in robotics or thinking about software solutions, things that I'm interested and excited about. And then the avocation, the other side of that, you know, who I am as a person, what are some of my hobbies or interests, but even sort of that broader aspect of things. There's things that I do at home that I don't necessarily do at work, but they work together with each other, where I can have a problem-solving skill that's refined through my avocation. If we're working in the same definition here, that helps improve my vocation. And that in itself helps me bring whatever my best is to my employer in a lot of ways. If I'm allowed to put the two together and have passion that I bring to both sides of my efforts, whether it's home or at work, then yes, I am bringing my best. And I'm trying to do something, not just necessarily as saying bottom line, but how do we as a company do the right thing with the bottom line as well?
Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to read you something, Doug, from a psychologist, and part of it I think is a little bit of psychobabble, so bear with me. But I want you to try to comment on it, just kind of tied into what we're talking about on today's show. The challenge of the stage of bringing avocation and vocation together is finding the way to overcome the increasing dissatisfaction that arises from the awareness of living in two worlds or having two conflicting aspects of self. For many reasons, among them highly practical ones, the worldly persona continues to play its role while the higher self slowly learns to attune to a subtler plane of reality. As this journey unfolds and the focus of consciousness shifts from the outer world of form to the inner world of meaning, there is this aspect of your two selves that come together and they surrender to the one blended meaning of avocation and vocation. So from that psychobabble, what do you take from that?
Let me feed it back to you in a way that I think has been connecting with me recently. We oftentimes, when you're in the world of work, think about how to succeed at work. So you might set a mission statement at work. This is what I'm going to do to succeed. These are my customers. This is my target. This is how I'm going to do it. And I think in a professional world, we all are very familiar with this, whether we're making a product or, again, providing a service or something like that. But there's not quite often, and I heard this recently where somebody was talking about how often do we do that in our own personal lives where we set a mission statement about this is who I am, this is how I'm going to succeed, and this is how I'm going to do it. And what is that mission statement for myself as opposed to work? And what you just described, I think there's a blending of the two, saying my personal mission statement should match my work mission statement in some ways, to say, how is it that what I'm engaging in, my passion, I can carry that with me to work every day? So when I get up every day and I get to come to Toyota and think about I'm doing technology for human support, I'm passionate about the fact that, yes, even though there's challenges on a day-to-day basis, I'm doing something that really I think is going to make a difference in people's lives. And so by putting a little bit of those two mission statements together and saying, hey, yes, I have a common mission that I'm excited about that I can be willing to share with other people. And by that, I'm able to have infectious passion that carries other people as well, is really great. So for me, I actually had a point where I was thinking about, okay, what do I do? You know, who's, and I think there's multiple role models in our lives. But again, I think I mentioned it last time, but, you know, I looked to Gutenberg as one of my inspirations. He's, you know, technology, he invented the printing press and had a transformational sort of change, being able to get printed material out to the world. It's a, you know, change of information. So how can I do something similar with the skill set that I have in technology, and that's a personal and a professional mission statement in a lot of ways.
Beautifully stated. Doug, we have run out of time, but I've got one other question. Is it possible that when a person reaches this blended point, that they can create a higher octave of creative expression?
Maybe. I don't know if they have to reach that point. I think that's your potentially artificially hamstringing individuals. I think for me, the creative point gets when you get outside of yourself and start thinking about others. When I have most of my great ideas, you know, a lot of times people talk about thinking of solving something in the shower. You know, you stand in the shower and you're just not thinking about it, and the solution pops in your brain. And you're like, oh yeah. And you might just be stop thinking about some of the stuff that you're focused on. I found that when I go and I listen to other people, when I'm having that actual user engagement and when I'm considering others, you know, one of the questions you had sent me earlier was about culture. You know, our culture is a lot of me focused, which is, you know, interesting itself. But when you start to think about others and you want to, as natural as people, we want to solve problems for others, that's where the creative stuff comes into play. That's where we actually start to think about connecting all the experience that we have with how we can actually do something with someone else. And so for me, you don't have to necessarily have the pre-requirement of blending the two to get that creative solution, but it does help, right? And it does actually allow you to think about how do I do what I want to do in this space. Hopefully
Absolutely.
That answers your question.
It does. Doug, thank you so much for being back on. It's always enlightening and illuminating, and we really appreciate your perspective. Thanks again for being on our show.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me, and I hope this is a little nugget of wisdom that somebody can take with them. So.
That was Doug Moore of Toyota. We sure appreciated his insight today. Isn't that interesting to talk about how you can actually design one's career? So intriguing. We want to thank our sponsor, Blinkist, for their great support of this network. And you've heard us talk about Blinkist before. It's the most useful app on my phone. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down to just 15 minutes or less for you to read or listen to. Some of the books that I've been listening to recently include Superthinking by Gabe Wimber, and Accidental Presidents by Jared Cohen. And you too can start enjoying some of these as well. With Blinkist, you can get unlimited access to listen to this massive library. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our listening audience. You can go to blinkist.com/success, try it free for 7 days, and then save 25% off your new subscription. That's blinkist.com/success to start your free 7-day trial today, and then get 25% off your annual subscription. Hey, thanks again for joining us on this special Success Made to Last. If you like this show, let us know with a comment and rating on our website, successmadetolast.com. And if you want to get your week off to a great start, subscribe to our newsletter. It's free, and you'll love the wit and wisdom in that newsletter. Hey, as we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week.